As you focus your mind, remember that there are things you're letting go, but also things you're developing. There's so much emphasis on the letting go, letting go. Some people think that's what it's all about. But if you let go of everything, you have nothing. Because John Lee would say, you want to let go like a rich person, not like a pauper. A pauper has nothing. Starts out with nothing, ends up with nothing. If he just lets go. But a rich person, letting go, still has lots of things. The images of someone carrying things around, then going back home and just placing them in the home, and the walking around without carrying them. The things you have are still there back home when you need them. Think of the Buddha after his awakening when he had totally let go of everything. When the time came to teach, he had lots of things to draw on. He had the power of his virtue, he had the power of his concentration, the power of his discernment. These things had all been developed. And so they were there for him to use when he needed them. So as you're sitting here meditating, there are things you have to hold on to, things you have to keep going back to again and again and again. Starting with something really simple like the breath. And if the mind wanders off, you come back. Wanders off again, you don't just let it wander, you come back again. Focus on the causes, your determination to do this well. And as for the results, if your causes are good, the results will have to be good. So keep focused on the causes. When the Buddha talks about the basis for success, the first one is desire. And skillful desire does have in the background the desire to gain awakening. But you don't just sit here hoping for awakening. You realize there are steps that lead there. And those steps don't get in the way. There's some schools of thought that say you have to do nothing at all. Have no plans, have no intentions, just be. And that way you don't get in the way of awakening that's going to happen someday. But awakening doesn't happen on its own. After all, think of Venerable Sariputta when he explained the Dhamma, how you would introduce the Dhamma to people in foreign lands. He started by saying, the Buddha teaches the subduing of desire and passion. Now, the subduing of desire and passion doesn't happen on its own. In fact, everything we experience is based on desire. The only thing that's not based on desire is nibbana. But everything else, good, bad, on the path, off the path, is all based on desire. So when we subdue desire and passion, it's going to be pretty radical. And it's not going to be simply an expression of our innate nature. It doesn't come from simply allowing things to happen on their own. We have to direct it. And what that means, because we're directing it, because we're training the mind, we're going to start out with some desires to override the desires that are unskillful. We have our determination. We want discernment. We want truth. We want relinquishment. We want peace. The peace there is the result. Everything else is causes. So you focus your desire on the causes. How can you be discerning about how you breathe? How can you be true to your meditation? How can you let go and relinquish things that are getting in the way? That's what you want to focus your desire on. So that's something you hold on to. And that's followed by persistence. You really stick with it. This is where the truthfulness comes in. You've made up your mind you're going to stay here. Well, you stay true to that intention. Don't turn traitor. Each time the mind wanders off, you bring it back. Each time. And each time you try to be as quick as possible to detect when it's wandering away. As for whatever it wanders away to, that's something you let go. So in the beginning, it may not be all that peaceful because you're trying to catch the mind, catch the mind, catch the mind as it wanders off. But again, you're focused on the causes. And after a while, the mind begins to get the message. It's like training a dog that's not all that bright. You want it to come, and it does seem to know what you're about. And finally it catches on, and then it comes. So sometimes you have to have patience. But patience doesn't mean just simply let things happen. It means that you keep at the practice without tiring, without flagging, without complaining to yourself about how long this is taking or how repetitive it is. You just keep doing it. Realizing that this is your ticket out of here. Now, persistence on its own is not enough. You also have to be intent on what you're doing. Pay full attention to what you're doing. Because that's when you begin to notice things. And in noticing things, you begin to understand, why is it the mind wanders off? How does it deceive itself? That's the big issue you want to be intent on. You think you're going to stay here, but part of the mind has already decided it wants to go. And it's just waiting for your vigilance to have a lapse, waiting for your mindfulness to have a lapse. And then it's going to go. It's in this way that the meditation helps you see layers of decisions, layers of conversation going on in the mind that you otherwise wouldn't have detected. And then you figure out ways of not going with those distractions. That's the ingenuity, using your powers of analysis to figure out what's going on. So you're not using simple force of will. You're using understanding. When you understand the mind's tricks, they don't hold that much power anymore. So these are the qualities you hold on to. They'll come out of that desire to do this well. And then a lot of the practice means learning how to live with your desire in a mature way. We have goals. And sometimes those goals seem to recede farther and farther away. But it's not the case. It's just that we get more and more perceptive about what's going on, get a better and better understanding of what's going on in the mind. And in that way, our desire can get closer and closer to actually being realized. So these are the things you hold on to. These are the things you develop. As for your interest in the world outside, it's often good to stop and reflect on how deceitful the world outside can be, how disappointing it can be. You look at the news and you wonder about the human race. How can people be so stupid? A few people with a lot of power want to have war. Nobody else wants to have war. Why these few people have those ideas? Realize that power corrupts, power deceives. That's the way it is with the world. And the idea of doing good things in the world, it's good for your own perfections. that you want to do good things in the world. But you also realize the world is not going to give you that much in terms of rewards. The reward has to be in the perfections in the mind. That, of course, brings your focus back to what you're doing right here. So you're learning to let go of a lot of things outside and hold on to things inside. And if people accuse you of being attached, and you see this in a lot of Buddhist circles, they say, well, don't hold on to the precepts, don't hold on to concentration, because that's an attachment. And just remember, you know what you're doing. You're thinking strategically. There will come a time when you do let go of everything, but only when you've developed the qualities that take you to the right place to let go. Think of that image of the raft going across the river. You could, if you wanted to, let go in the middle of the river, but where will that take you? Down the river, to the whirlpools and the waterfalls. But if you get to the other side and let go there, then you're safe. So hold on to the raft in the meantime. And that way your training is complete. When the Buddha talks about the path, it's always developing and abandoning. You learn to delight in developing. You learn to delight in abandoning, both of them. They go together. So that when you let go in the right way, at the right place. And even after you've let go, you're not poor. You've amassed all kinds of inner wealth that you can then use.